While you're standing, let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Oh, yes. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 39. Very familiar scripture to most of us in this room, if not all. Amen. If you're there, say amen. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you." Everybody shout, unto you. "And to your children, and to all." Everybody shout, to all. "That are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off. For a few moments, I want to speak for this today, for this church. Faith for the future is our focus today. And I want to preach this right here to you and your children. To you and your children. Can we magnify the Lord in advance for those who are going to be coming into this church? For those whose lives are going to be changed? Can we magnify the Lord? For the promise is not just unto that generation. It wasn't just unto the book of Acts, but I'm thankful today it was unto me and to my children. I'm thankful for that today. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. We are in a strategic season of our Promise Vision campaign. We are focused on embracing the future that the Lord has planned for this church. On September 24th, we honored the past, and what an amazing history that we have at this church, a great heritage of this church. October 1st, we celebrated the present, and isn't it incredible what God is doing in this hour in the church? Are you thankful to be a part of what God's doing now? I'm thankful for what's taking place, but I'm thankful for about right now. And then last Sunday at the mall, wow, what a day we had. What an amazing day we had. We promoted the future at our offsite service, and God showed up in a mighty way, and his praises, our praises that we were giving to him, and his gospel echoed down the hallways of our local mall. So much that one gentleman could hear it clear down at the entrance by T-Mobile and could not help himself but to walk down to see what was going on. It's amazing what happens when you get out of the four walls, isn't it? So today the focus is faith for our future. So how can I have faith? You see, great faith for the future of this church. How can I have great faith for the future of this church? Because I understand what we just read, that the promise of salvation that was given on the day of Pentecost was not just for that day. Thank God. Thank God it wasn't a one and done kind of moment that he gave, but he gave us a promise. He said there were those now that actually believed. There were those that believed, and there are those who still believe to this day and preach and will tell you that it was for that day. It's not for us today. It was for them as a one-time thing, and it's over. It's done. It was a great experience for them, but it's not for us today. There are those that believe that, but I understand that the Word of God tells us that the promise was for them on that day and to you and to your children and to all that are afar off. He wasn't talking about miles. He was talking about time. He was saying until the trumpet sounds, this promise is for you, for the next generation, the next generation, the next generation. It will never stop. Amen. To all who walk, who will walk through these doors right here in this building, and to all who will walk through the doors that we just washed in that new building, it is unto them. It's unto all of those prodigals that used to walk through these doors, that will walk through new doors, that might walk back through these doors before we leave this building. It's unto them as well. It's unto the leaders of this city. It's unto the mayor. It's unto the judges. It's unto the doctors. It's unto the person that's broken right now that might be sitting at the local county jail thinking, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to do with my life. I'm glad to know today that the promise was not stuck back in the book of Acts, but I can look at them and say, this same promise is unto you today, and God can turn your life around. I'm thankful for the promise. I want us to see today that God focused on the future. We know God is not held by time. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he inhabits eternity, that his word tells us that God created time, that he used it to fulfill his word. There's a purpose for it. And his kingdom is an ever-advancing and ever-expanding kingdom. It does not stay still. It does not stay in one place. It's not locked to one generation. That God has always been against people who lived in the past, not honoring the past. It's good to honor the past, but I'm talking about living in the past. I've preached about this. I've spoken to some individuals in my office about this, that it's a good place to reference. It's good to reference the past, but it is not a place to take residence in. We can't live there. But we have to be looking forward to the future, constantly moving. You see, he's against those who are living in the past, but he's been against those who are consumed with it and consumed the resources that were dedicated to the future, and it was not meant to be taken and all used up right now in the present. Understand that God is against sacrificing the future on the altar of the present. I'll say that one more time. God is not for us sacrificing the future on the altar of the present. I was reminded of the words I've shared so many times over the past 3 years of Bishop Stark. And Bishop Stark, when I called him in the middle of COVID, he spoke these words. He said, "What are you doing next year for the church?" And I couldn't understand why he was asking that question until afterwards. He said, "Because if you focus on the here and now, you will die in the here and now. If we focus everything that we are and everything that we do on the here and now, then we will die in the here and now. The church will die right here and now. But I understand that there is a next generation. I understand that there is a future. Why? Because God says the promise doesn't die here, but the promise lives on. God has always been against people who live in the past. And when Israel went into spiritual backsliding, that there were times when they followed the pagan practice of making their children pass through the fire. Literally sacrificing their children to the fire god of Molech. You say, "Well, that was then." Yep, but it sounds pretty familiar of the day and age we're living in. Millions of babies being killed. You say, "Well, that's not sacrificing." Well, sacrificing to their own belief, sacrificing to their own wants. Jeremiah 32:35 says, "And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. And God said, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." God will never ask you to sacrifice the future on the altar of the present. God will never ask you to sacrifice the future of this church on the altar of the present time right now. There's a story I want to share with you that when famine struck in the city of Samaria, that there's this incredible story that takes place in 2 Kings chapter 6. And there are two mothers that are starving like everyone else is starving. There was a famine. They were saying, "How are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? What are we going to do?" And if you've never read this, you might be shocked a little bit, but I promise you it's in the scripture. You can go look. if you want to. But it says that they made a pact with one another. Two moms looked at each other and said, what are we going to do? We're starving. Let's make a pact with one another today. And one mother says to the other mother, she said, today we will boil your son and eat him. And then tomorrow we will boil mine and eat him. This is in the scripture. This happened. This took place. The one mother goes to the king and tells the king, hey, we had a pact. We made a pact that we were going to do this. And we boiled my son yesterday and we did eat him. But now this woman has hidden her son so that we cannot do the same to him. This is one of the most sickening and heartbreaking stories I think you could probably find in the Bible. But I remember reading this story and some time ago and thinking about this idea of what was taking place in that moment when they actually did boil the son and partake of his body. They were actually consuming the future to preserve the present. You say, well, why did the parents not offer to sacrifice themselves to allow their children to keep on living? Instead of sacrificing their children for themselves. Understand that there are churches today that sacrifice the future on the altar of the present to think that's what they have to do to simply survive. The adult generation consumes resources that should be allocated and dedicated to the next generation that is coming up. We must understand that the formula for a failing church or for failure in a local church is this. One, forget the future. Two, live with the memory of the past, but consuming the future for the needs of the present day. You see, the older generation that holds the most money and positional power often dictates the culture of a church. Over time, people who serve their own appetites will create a culture that does not attract the next generation. This fatal trend for a local church, and it seems to, it is choice that serves the last generation only and not the next generation. And when churches lose sight of the future, their focus turns inward and they consume everything that they produce. Think about that. The signs of a dying church, the signs of a church that's going to fail, is a church that everything we produce, we consume. That means if you come in on a Sunday morning and what is being put out in a Sunday morning, the presence of God that is here in a Sunday morning, we consume it but never want to pass it along. A church that is caught up in consumerism, I've preached about this in Give to Give. You get a church that's caught up in consumerism, and I promise you, you'll find a church that will not last very long. And when churches lose sight of the future, this is what happens. The decisions doom the congregation. Those decisions are seen in these things I would like to show to you right now is budget allocations of where things, where's the money being spent, where's it going, and building designs and furnishings and worship service components. Now, you say, now building design and furnishings, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about, listen, I understand and I kind of joke about it and it was funny and I still have fun with it and you still have fun with me about it, and some people say they're going to find a piece of it and they're going to frame it and put it in the office at the new church, the beautiful pink carpet that we had up here. If you look closely, because I always do when I walk past it, there's a little bit left right underneath the drum cage. It's beautiful. And I know someone in this room probably saved a piece of that, and it's going to show up in the future. Now, could I have stayed here as the pastor and kept preaching the gospel and kept preaching truth if the pink carpet never left? Absolutely, because the color of the carpet does not dictate a move of God. We still had revival. We still had 176 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost over the past 7 years. We still had over 200 people get baptized in Jesus' name over the last 7 years. Even when the carpet was pink, worship service components, or maybe here's a big one, music style. I had somebody tell me, they showed up here, it's been years ago, right after I got here, and they said, where's the hymnals? They're not in the back of the pews anymore. I said, no, they're not. They're not there. We're, you know, things are a little different. We have this screen that the lyrics are on, and they said, well, if you won't sing the hymnals and only the hymnals, then we're not going to come here. I said, well, good luck on your search for a church. I'm not being mean, but we're not a one generation focused church. Is that okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm an old soul. Anybody who truly knows me, I love an old hymnal. I love singing those old songs. Nothing like it. I remember when I was a kid, I used to, page 99, the Royal Telephone. Hallelujah. I grew up on that. Now, how many of you young people don't even know what I'm talking about right now when I say a hymnal, a brown hymnal with gold writing on it? Y'all a little confused, right over your head? Some of you remember? Do you? All right. You want to go back to that? Okay. Used to love those times. Everybody stand, turn to page 165. Now, were those bad days? Am I making fun of those? No. Because God moved in a mighty way in those days for that time and that season. But God says, listen, one thing we got to understand is that a church, we have to move when time moves. But the one thing that never changes is the gospel that we're preaching. Truth is truth no matter what. Truth is truth, whether you're singing out of a hymnal or you're singing off a screen or you're singing some new song or you're singing something. No, it doesn't matter. Truth is truth. That's the foundation we're built on, and that is one thing that will never change. It'll never change. That's who we are. Ministry priorities in dying churches, the last portion of money, that this is in dying churches. Now, remember what I'm talking about. I'm talking about dying churches. That the last expenditures to be reduced means the last amount of money that is taken from and reduced are those that keep the members most comfortable. Sounds more like a country club than it does a church, right? Yeah. You see, not all dying churches are poor churches, but because of their misplaced priorities, money is inwardly focused and the mission simply grows weak. They lose focus on what the mission is, who they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be doing. Why are we here today? Why are we here? Are we here for the comfy chairs? No, but they're nice to have. But I tell you now, we could go back. Anybody remember when our padded pews were not padded? Brother Chapman, did you have great revivals? Absolutely you did. It doesn't matter. I'm thankful for these things, but I want to make sure as a church that we never get so inwardly focused that we forget that God has called us and placed us on a mission for this region and for this city. It is to go out and to preach the gospel to every individual that will hear what we have to say and trust God that He'll make a way for us to continue doing that. That's what we're about. That's who we are. I'm thankful today that we are not that kind of church. We are not the one that's so focused. I'm thankful that we're not that type of church that people that will say, well, you know what? If you would have sang an older song today, I would have worshiped, but I'm just going to sit here and fold my arms because I don't feel like it. No, I love the fact that our church, our praise team can get up here and do a brand new song, and I look around and people, you don't know the words yet, but you stand up and you raise your hands anyways because it's not about the lyrics. It's not about the music. Strip the music away. I can still praise God. It doesn't dictate my worship. I'm thankful that's the type of church that we are. That is not the perspective of our church, that we are a multicultural church, and I thank God for that. I thank God we are a multicultural church. I thank God that we are a multi-generational church reaching for the next generation. I thank God that we believe in the next generation and that we are reaching for the future of this church. I'm behind every one of them that were up here singing. Why? Because that's soul winners. That's Bible teachers. That could be future preachers, evangelists. Who knows what God's going to call them to do? That could be future pianists. When I got here 7 years ago, there was a little tiny girl that got up here and sang in a Christmas program. Her name was Faith Norman. When I got here 7 years ago, shortly after that, my niece shows up. And 7 years ago, there was a little tiny fella who probably couldn't even reach the pedals in a drum cage at that time. But I'm thankful today that we invested in them because today they led us in worship. You're investing in the next generation. You're investing in preachers and teachers. You're investing in musicians and singers. You're investing in the church. Not just today, but you're investing in them for that time. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. We have faith for our future. Faith that God will use us to fund the future of his church. This church right here. You thankful for your church? Amen. Amen. Somebody shout out, this is my church. Amen. You should be proud of your local church. Be proud of your local church. Proverbs teaches that grandparents, they leave an inheritance for their children and grandchildren. Proverbs 13 and 22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. You say, what is happening at Life Point? This right here is what's happening at Life Point, that we are leaving an inheritance for those. I was thinking about those we've lost just here recently, and a lot of those I didn't get to know from the past that have come through here, and they have given. They were faithful in tithing and faithful in offering. What were they doing? They were investing into the future of the church every time they were doing that. They were giving to give us an opportunity to come here in 2023 and have church like we're having church today. And I'm thankful for that, that they were investing. As a church, we are leaving an inheritance for future generations. I have said it many a times, and I truly do believe this, and this is my ministry approach, that I truly believe that I am pastoring today someone else's church. And it is up to me as the pastor what I hand off to the next generation. I could say, you know what? We're just happy. When I got here, I could have said, we're happy with 35, 40 people on a Sunday. You know, let's just not really stir the pot. Let's not mess anything up. Let's just keep rolling with this. And then years from now, I could have said, well, I'm going to hand this off to somebody else. And here you go. This is what I gave you. I preached a message a few years ago about the mantle. And I was talking to another pastor the other day, and I was sharing it with him, and I said, you know, here's my approach to ministry is I refuse to hand off a spotless and clean mantle to the next generation, to the next pastor that comes along, that my mantle should be dirty. It should be covered because I'm actually in the field doing some work. I'm trying to build the kingdom so I can hand something off to them. I want to set this next generation up for success. That's my goal. You see, this is a statement of faith that this is more meaningful than the investment of money, that we're investing into this next generation, that we are investing in our families. You're investing in your family. Think about that today. You are investing, whether you have them yet or not, in your grandchildren. There are some of us in this room, you are investing in souls that you will not meet on this side of heaven. We are investing. You say, well, really, we're investing. Yes, we're investing in something that's going to, it's going to come back to us. It's going to come back to the kingdom. It's an investment. We are also investing in spiritual sons and daughters who will come into the kingdom of God. My priority, here's the mission. My priority is that we never compromise this biblical message or the mission. That his truth, this truth, is fixed. It's like a stake in the ground that is fixed. It's not going to move. It's not going to change. This is it. The apostolic doctrine is non-negotiable for me in this church. As long as I'm your pastor, that's what you'll get from me, from this pulpit. And I promise to protect this pulpit, this holy desk, to make sure that's what we hear. As a church, we will not allow our mission to go missing in our preaching, in our planning, and in our practice. This is simply who we are, and this is who we will always be. So I want us to look at this real quick. The scriptural setting that God's kingdom has always had a future focus. God is always looking forward to what is coming. His truth endures to all generations. Psalms 105, it says this right here. It says, chapter 100, verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endure to all generations. One generation shall praise his works for the next generation. Psalms 145 and 4 tells us that. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Isaiah 9 and 6 tells us that, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it says, of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end. It's never going to end. And of Jesus it was said in Luke 1:33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. You see, Joel spoke of a multi-generational and multicultural outpouring of God's Spirit. In Joel 2, 28 and 29, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And then it says in verse 29, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days I will pour out my spirit. You see, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, 1 through 4. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were filled, all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When this took place in this setting, when the Holy Ghost fell for that first time, and there was a great outpouring that had been prophesied about for years, that when it took place, the news of this phenomenal thing began to spread. People begin to talk about it, and people begin to gather in, and that they were wanting to see what is taking place. Let's go see what's taking place. And they started gathering in, and when they came in, Peter began to preach, and he preached to them, and conviction of their sin set upon them. And the sinners asked this simple question. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we got to do? It was at that point that the message of salvation came forth for the first time, when Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then the multi-generational promise was given. He didn't just stop there. He could have stopped right there and said, go get baptized in Jesus' name. Repent of your sins, you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's all I've got to say. No, but it was at that moment he realized this is more than now. That what's taking place is more than just a one-time thing that's going to take place right here in this moment that I get to witness. But Peter understood, and that's why he went on to verse 39 when he said, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." It was in that moment that the multi-generational promise was birthed. Understand this morning that the promise of salvation is unto you. And I thank God it was unto us. I thank God that it was unto my father and my mother. I thank God that there was a preacher in Circleville that loved people enough that he went out witnessing and he got a hold of my grandpa and he began to share the gospel with my grandpa and my dad's dad. And that's how my dad came into the church. I'm thankful that in a tiny little church in Obetz, Ohio, you probably, who knows where Obetz is at? It's not real big. There's a small little white building in Obetz that I'm thankful that my grandpa on the other side and my grandpa came in and hit his knees in the middle of a service and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he went on for the rest of his years that he was here on the earth preaching the gospel. I'm thankful to know that it wasn't just for Acts. I'm thankful to know it wasn't just for my dad. I'm thankful to know it wasn't just for my grandpa, but this was opened up to me too. And because of that, I can tell my boys, this is for you too. It's for my grandbabies that aren't here yet. It's for them too. It's for your children that the power of the Holy Ghost does not diminish from one generation to the next. It hasn't weakened. Mm-mm. Hasn't weakened. You see, if there is a failure to transfer truth, it is not due to the inability of the truth, but it is in the transfer of the truth. It's up to us how we transfer to the next generation. I am fully aware that children reach an age when they make their own decisions. I get that. I've been there. We are aware of the influence of the fallen culture that we currently live in. The pressure from the media, the far left politics and policies and peer pressure, and the spirit of the age, it's a real thing. Truth, but truth is relevant and real in every generation. Why? Because time does not and cannot diminish truth. Remember, God's truth endures to all generations. And that is why I can stand here today in the midst of this current generation and that I can declare to them that the promise of salvation is unto you and to your children. And they're their children. Why? Because the truth of God will never fade away. Never. It shall never die off. The promise will live on for generations to come until the trumpet sounds. Acts 2:39, we've read, it says, "For the promise is unto you. The promise of salvation is unto your children. And to all that are afar off." And understand that it's not just for our natural children and grandchildren. It's not just for your blood children and grandchildren. But this promise that we're talking about here, that the promise of salvation is to as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's up to him who he calls. That understand that there are, even in this place this morning, there are spiritual babies that this church is going to birth and have birth, and the promise is going to be alive for their kids and their generations. As I was preparing this message, I spoke about them a couple weeks ago, but it just kind of hit me, and I just got moved so emotionally because of what I realized what God was doing. And I realized that there are young people in this church that you came into church through this church. And I begin to think about Jimmy. I begin to think about you, bud. I begin to think about what God has done in you. And I've watched you grow up over the last few years. And I've watched you get closer to God over the last few years. And I watch you in these altars with your hands raised. And you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You've been baptized in Jesus' name. And you're living for God. And I'm proud of you for that. But I want you to understand, listen, you're not my blood. You're not my son, right? You're not, Jimmy. Just so you know, he was like, what do I say, Pastor? What would you like me to say? But you know what you are as your pastor? You know what you are to me? You're a son in the faith. Yeah. This church, as the bride of Christ, opened up its arms to this family. And what took place is we brought them in, began to nurture them. And I began to think that I got to witness it. I got to watch you grow spiritually. But you know what it hit me, Jimmy? You're not always going to be a young man. You're going to grow up to be a man of God. And you're going to raise your family. And there's coming a day that in these altars, there's coming a day in those altars down there as you grow. Maybe that same altar where you're going to stand someday and you're going to gaze in the eyes of a beautiful lady. And you're going to say, yes, baby, I do. And before you know it, beautiful babies are going to start coming. And you know what's going to happen in those altars, Jimmy? You know what's going to happen? Those babies are going to watch you of what you do in the altars. And you're going to invest in those kids. You know what's going to happen? That they're going to find themselves in an altar someday with their hands raised, and God's going to fill them with the Holy Ghost, and they're going to be baptized in his name. And generation after generation after generation is going to come, all because there was a church willing to invest in a family. He's not my blood child, but listen, he's a child in the gospel. He's a child in the faith. And I'm telling you right now, the same blood that was flowing through Calvary flows through me and flows through him. It might not be your blood child, I promise you, but we're going to raise up a generation that's going to win souls, and they're going to raise up their kids. That's how it works. That's how it works. This is who we are. This is who we are. And you think about that, you stick around and you stay in the church and you keep living for God. I'm talking to all of you, this younger generation, and before you know it, this church is growing in size because you're raising your kids up in the truth. You say, well, I understand, Pastor, that you know, it's the promise is unto us, but Pastor, the world is in a mess. Oh, I know. It doesn't take you long to figure that out. You look around, you read, you get on any social media, see what's going on right now in Israel. The world is in a mess. It's a mess. I see the news reports that our culture, we live in a culture that is rejecting God. And I know that it is true. I know it. You know, there is no hope in a world without God or the church. The world is spiritually dead and they're emotionally drained though. So, but whether they say it or not, they long for a genuine relationship with something bigger than who they are. It might not seem like it at times, but I promise you there is a hunger in the hearts of the people in this world. They just don't know exactly what the answer is. They don't know it. You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, last week I had to go up to Amish country for a meeting, for a district meeting for the Ohio District NAM, and I was sitting there talking to Brother Dillingham, Ken Dillingham, who pastors over in Fairborn, Dayton area. And he was telling us that the last time that he went to the Amish country, that he went to a small coffee shop, and this gentleman walked up to him and he said, are you a preacher? He said, yes. He said, oh, okay. He said, are you a Baptist preacher? He said, no. He said, oh, he said, well, I thought you were by your hairdo. You look Baptist. And Brother Dillingham said, well, I didn't know how to take that. I don't know. But he said, no, I'm apostolic. He said, are you really? He said, you all speak in tongues. He said, you believe in the Holy Ghost? He said, yes, sir. He said, I've been wanting the Holy Ghost. And you know what Brother Dillingham did? Brother Dillingham didn't say, well, let me find you a local church so I can take you to. Brother Dillingham said this. He said, is there a place that we can pray? And the guy said this. He said, well, believe it or not, this coffee shop actually has a prayer room in the back. Brother Dillingham said, let's go. So they went back to the prayer room. He said about 5 minutes later, he said the man's hands were raised, tears streaming down his face, and he was speaking in tongues. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the gentleman said, come with me, I'm gonna introduce you to somebody. And they walked to the front of the coffee shop, and there was an Amish gentleman sitting there at the coffee shop, and he was teaching a Bible study to a guy sitting across from him. And they walked up, and he said, I want to introduce you to my friend. And the Amish gentleman looked around, and he said, you, sir, are an apostolic preacher, and you're full of the Holy Ghost. He said, yes. He said, I could, he said, the Holy Ghost in me felt the Holy Ghost in you. He said, I got revelation of it. He said, I got revelation of one God. He said, I've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and now I'm teaching Bible studies to whoever will listen to me. Brother Dillingham, over the last 6 months, has prayed 12 people through in Amish country through the Holy Ghost and baptized them in Jesus' name. Don't tell me the world's not hungry for it. The world is hungry for it. They're looking for it. The good news for us, I understand it's a mess. There are crazy things taking place, but the world's looking. And the good news for us and for the world is this. We as the church are not of the world, but we are of the church. But we have to be the church. And this is our hour for the church to dig in deep. This is our hour. This is not our hour to slack off. This is not our hour to say, I'll get to church when I can, when I can fit it in. I'll get to prayer meeting when I can. I'll pray at home when I can. You know, I'll fast when I can. I'll read the word when I can. I'll get to it. But no, this is the hour that that God is calling the church to dig in deep and pray like never before, to fast like never before, to get out of your comfort zone, to teach Bible studies, to worship, to witness in the middle of a coffee shop, pray somebody through the Holy Ghost. This is the hour of the church to go beyond our comfort zone. Get involved in ministry. I have faith for our future. That just as God is going to guide us every step through this promise campaign and through the future of this church, I also believe as he guides us, he will also provide for us from his riches and glory. Why? Because when he provides for us, we can in return provide a place for the broken to be mended and the blind to see and the deaf to hear. And we can provide a place for the hurting to be healed. We can provide a place for those who are wondering, what is it? What's the answer? We can provide a place for them to say, this is the answer. He's the answer. This, hear me, church, this is our greatest hour. I honor the past. I'm thankful for what the past did, but I'm telling you right now, greater things shall we do in this hour than they ever saw before us. Greater things shall we do. And young people, greater things shall you do in the future of this church. Greater revival shall you see than we've ever seen in this church, because this is the time for the church. This is it. This is it. This is our greatest hour. This is our greatest hour. I want us to stand all over this place. I ask you this morning, will you join your faith with the other members of this body of Christ in agreement to say, God, we will do it for this church. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God, our God, shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I have faith in the future of this church. For the promise of salvation is unto you and to your children. So therefore, if the promise is still alive, I can have faith in the future. It means the future is still alive. And no matter what is shaken in our world, we have received an unshakable kingdom that cannot be moved. Hebrews 12 tells us that. It says the removing of those things that are shaken. And as the things that are made and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. We are sold out to and investing in the kingdom of God to see it grow and to be transferred to our children and their children and their children and their children. I have faith that we are in the will of God for this building project. If I did not have faith, if I was questioning faith at all, I promise you as your pastor, I would not have taken a step forward. I would not have said, now is the time. Now is the time to move forward. No, because as Moses, and you've heard me say this 100 times from this pulpit, to have the heart of Moses and the voice of Moses, I said, God, if you're not going with us, we're not going. Mm-mm. So when it's time for us to move, you tell me it's time to move. When it's time for us to step into the future and the promise, you tell me, God, and I make a promise. I made a promise to him that when you speak it to me, whether it's comfortable or not, I'll speak it to the church. As Moses did and said, it's time to go. Pack up your things, it's time to move. We're not gonna dwell here anymore. But pack everything up because the future's waiting for us. And because I know God's in it, I can stand here today and say I have great faith. I have great faith that when we start moving in faith and we're walking in faith, that God says, if you let me guide you, I promise I'll provide for you too. As we step into this time of giving, and we step into this time of faithful giving, and we step into this time of the unforeseen faith that I preached about in the beginning of this year, what's it gonna look like, God? We might not have all those answers. Well, how's God gonna do it for me, Pastor? I don't know. I can't give you those details. But all I can tell you is what his word says. His word says, I'll provide for you every need according to his riches. God will do it. Not he might. No, God will do it. Why? Because if he says go, then he's putting his reputation on the line if he doesn't show up. He's not doing that. But God will provide our every need. He says, you invest in the future. You have faith for the future. And I promise you, I'll show up in ways that you could not dream up yourself. I'll show up. You didn't see it coming when you went to go buy the property. There are people in this room that came to me and said, Pastor, here's what we're feeling, but I don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how God's going to provide. I said, did God speak it to you? Yes. And he confirmed it through my spouse separately. And I said, then you've got to just trust God. I can't tell you how he's going to do it. And there are some of you in this room, if you could come up here and testify right now, you would testify how when we bought that property that you submitted a number that scared you to death. But God provided. And because of that, some of you went above and beyond what you even pledged. Because God said, listen, I'll never leave you, don't forsake you. If I gave you a word, my word will not return void unto me. You just trust me. God has us in a great season for this church. We've seen great financial miracles, but we are going to experience it in a greater dimension in the future of this church. Do you believe that? We're building our faith today to say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe that you will because your word says you can and your word says you will. Over the next few weeks, we have some very exciting services. Brother Mitchell, our church consultant that we've hired, he'll be here preaching. He's going to share stories with you of other churches of sacrifice and supernatural provision in his message. And we will focus on hearing God's voice, not man's voice, not our voice, but we'll focus on hearing God's voice as he reveals unto us what we should give to the Promise campaign. And then on Sunday, November 12th, we will make a 3-year commitment, a 36-month commitment to Promise, to the campaign. That stuff's coming. But today, would you let your faith grow in God? Not just for you, but for the next generation. You see, because you say, well, Pastor, I don't have a whole lot of faith today. That's all right, because small faith exercised can do big things. Amen. Oh, yeah. It's one thing to have small faith, but it's another thing to actually put it in action. Because when you take your faith and you partner up with God's abilities, big things begin to happen. Miracles begin to take place. The promise of salvation begins to unfold for you, this generation, next generation, and so on. So will you join me in reaching for the next generation by stepping into the next level of faith today? Here's what I want us to do. If you're 18 and older, I want you to do this today. If you're 18 and older, I'm sorry, 18 and younger, 18 and younger, if you'll come to the front, will you stand, get as close as you can to the platform, right up here to the altar, 18 and younger. 18 and younger. Come on, kiddos. Make your way up here. And they just keep coming. This is awesome. This is exciting. Come on. Ryder, thank you for coming. This is your church. You're a part of this. Now I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask for anybody 18 and older, if, only if, you will agree today to say, Pastor, I'm going to come into a covenant with this next generation and with God, that I will invest in them. And by investing in them, I will invest in their future, and I'll invest in their kids that are not here yet. And I'm going to invest in the future of this church. And I'm going to invest in future souls being won in this city and in this region. And I'm going to invest in preaching points and daughter works that's going to go out beyond from this church to the next city and to the next city. We don't know it, but daughter work pastors could be standing right here in front of you right now. If you'll invest with them, if you'll invest in them and make a commitment, will you step out today and will you surround them? Will you surround them and begin to pray for them? Come on and let them know I'm praying with you and I'm praying for you, because this is it. The promise is for me and for you, the children, and for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And I promise to you, I commit to you today to invest in you. I invest in you today. Jimmy, I'm going to invest in you. Logan, I'm going to invest in you. I'm going to invest. Andrew, I'm going to invest in you. I'm going to invest in your generation. Come on, kids, lift your hands. Come on, young people, lift your hands. Come on. Come on. God, what do you want me to do, God? God, call me, Lord. God, use me, Lord. God, right now, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands. Begin to pray. Jesus. God.